First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, it isn't Alan Nathan. It's Karen Cataline once again, one of the people in the stable of the Alan Nathan Show who fill in on occasion. It is always a pleasure and an honor to sit in Alan's seat. And we got a lot going on, I'll tell you. It is amazing to be doing talk radio at a time like this. We are only less than 100 days from the most consequential election ever. And have you, I don't even want to use superlatives because it minimizes what it is we're talking about here. But have you noticed that the ads and the propaganda on the Harris campaign is absolutely everywhere? You have to ask yourself, where are they getting this money? Where are they getting all this money? If you tune into your own email account, you are likely to see ads pop up in front of you. And what do they say? The ads say, I saw one this morning. I may mention it later as well. It said, we're not going back. I paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me. We're not going back. We are moving forward into the future. And we believe in freedom. That is a loaded statement. They believe in freedom. They're not going back. They've been in charge for the last 4 years. That's the part they don't want you to know, even though you've been there. You've been watching this bad sci-fi movie for the last 4 years, and somehow they want to rewrite the most recent of history that they weren't there, that Kamala wasn't there. Kamala wasn't border czar. Kamala wasn't in the last administration. Neither Kamala or the vice president candidate Walz have been elected to anything. They ousted their presidential candidate, not just because he did bad in a debate, but because it became clear that Joe Biden was every bit as mentally unequipped to be president as the conservatives and grassroots were accusing him of being. So for the longest time, they were denying that Joe Biden was cognitively impaired. We've watched his decline for 4 years. All of a sudden, they let the cat out of the bag on purpose, I would submit, so everybody in America could see that Joe Biden is profoundly cognitively impaired, and it has only gotten worse. What did they do? They switched candidates in the middle of a play, claiming they were for democracy, and then installing the candidate who could amass the most money as possible. But here's the key. They want you to believe that they are the party of freedom. Why? Because you have a freedom, and they have created the freedom to have an abortion or a vasectomy and celebrate that. Is that enumerated in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, that you have a freedom to have an abortion or a vasectomy? No, you have a choice to do that. And abortion has been part of that. Here to talk about not that, but the Soros agenda is Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare. That's where you're seeing all this money in your ads, is from the Soros agenda. Few people know more about that than she does. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. You know, when I get on my computer, I see these massive advertisements telling us, I just saw one this morning, Rachel, that said from the Kamala Harris campaign, we're not going back. We're not going back. We believe in the future and we believe in freedom, freedom, freedom. And I'm thinking they are campaigning as if they haven't been there for the last 4 years. What am I missing, doctor?
You're not missing much. Kamala Harris is a newborn baby, a grown-up baby. She wasn't around at all before. She's fresh. She's a breath of fresh air, as Clinton said.
Really?
Hasn't been around. She was not a vice president. She was not a prosecutor. She was not a senator. She didn't do anything before this. She just came completely ready to be president of the United States.
And she certainly wasn't the border czar, nor was she anti-Israel and raising money to get rioters out of prison. Tell us how Soros and the funding there is swamping voters with disinformation all over the country as we are embarking on this historic election here.
Soros has been, Alex Soros was, I think, the first one when they pushed out Biden. Soros was the first one to claim his support, to announce his support to Kamala as soon as it was announced. They have been having a very strong relationship, ongoing relationship for years. The Soroses have been supporting Kamala Harris for a long time. Don't forget, she is the first really Soros prosecutor who disregarded the law and decided that to be pro criminal instead of poor victim when she was the attorney general in California. They immediately started supporting her. Now, the Soroses have invested a lot in buying up radio stations, newspapers, other publications, podcasts, websites, online publications, for years, and newspapers, and they have big time. They started really doing it before the last midterm election when they bought the radio, Mumbi Radio in Florida, and other 17 radios with it. And Radio Mumbi was the main radio that that refugees from Cuba and other communist countries have been listening to. So he bought that in order to start with the propaganda so that Hispanics, Cubans, and people who, Spanish-speaking people who left communist systems, dictatorial systems, would not be voting, God forbid, for freedom, which the Republicans and
which
Trump,
they're calling the Harris administration freedom, but
freedom.
I mean, it's nothing. What?
It's freedom from life. Since they want to dictate, they allow and encourage abortions up to the, I don't know.
That's about the only thing that they believe is that we have a freedom for, and it ain't in the Constitution. But if you look at the other Bill of Rights, they attack every single one. Go ahead, sorry.
The right to change children's genders without telling the
No, they don't have the right to. No, they have to be forced to because it's parents who say no that don't have any freedom. They don't have any freedom to make decisions for their five-year-old. What's behind this, you mentioned it, is communism. We know that Kamala Harris was a red diaper baby. What's the connection with Alex Soros? Oh my gosh, we are so much out of time. So sorry that we can't cover that, but we will have to have you back. Dr. Ehrenfeld, how do people find you on the internet?
ACdemocracy.org, ACdemocracy.org, and look up the Soros Agenda on Amazon and on ACdemocracy.org.
Okay, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. We'll be right back after this.
It's been a long, hot summer for the American Red Cross. Blood donations are way down, due in part to record high heat, and now remnants of Hurricane Debbie are causing further complications. Now the Red Cross is asking the community to help by donating blood for patients or funds to support disaster relief. Dr. Baya Lasky, Divisional Chief Medical Officer at the American Red Cross, says we're facing an emergency blood shortage nationwide.
The nation's blood supply dropped by 25% in July, and we're working around the clock to get life-saving blood to hospitals. We need donations of all blood types, especially type O blood, to support accident victims, cancer patients, and more. As we struggle to overcome this emergency shortage, we are also providing food, shelter, and comfort to those impacted by Hurricane Debbie in the southeast and wildfires in the west. We encourage those who are able to give blood or essential funds to support those in need.
Make a blood or financial donation as soon as possible by visiting redcross.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS.
The Ocean Explorer is the most advanced research and media platform that's ever been built. We have developed technology to allow us to access and study the deepest and most remote corners of our planet and the deep ocean, but also to combine that with a Hollywood caliber production and media capability. So we're not only going out and conducting scientific research and exploring and discovering new things about our planet, but we're also telling the story through captivating media.
We film this in six episodes. It's a six-part docuseries going throughout the Atlantic Ocean. We started in the Caribbean, went to the Azores, and worked our way all the way up into the Arctic. I think we got within 500 miles of the North Pole at one point. And we saw some really incredible stuff. Humpback whales, squid in the deep sea. Up in the Arctic, we looked at some phenomena that was really breathtaking. I think people are going to be really excited to see what we watched.
So if you're interested in learning more about Ocean Explorers, the series, or about OceanX or Ocean Explorer, the vessel, you can go to oceanx.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, and we are moving right along here on the Alan Nathan Show. We are happy to welcome once again Paul Hutchinson, executive producer and the inspiration for much of the story of The Sound of Freedom. His organization, Liberating Humanity, is fighting to eliminate trafficking, human trafficking, child trafficking, a problem that has exploded in the past several years with our open borders. It's travesty and a tragedy. Paul Hutchinson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here with you.
Good to have you. So it appears, it's painful even to have to say this, that ICE lost track of nearly 300,000 migrant children in I don't know how long. Tell us more about this. What do we need to know?
Well, a lot of us have already heard of the statistics that came out about a year ago when the Department of Homeland Security admitted that over 85,000 children that were unaccompanied minors that came across the border, 85,000 of them are completely missing. They could be in dangerous homes, in being trafficked, and we'll go into that in just a second. But the most recent one was another 191,000 that do not have dates set for their follow-up. They don't have any information on them as to how they're doing in the new homes. And then another 32,000 who had not even shown up for their appearances, the court appearances, to verify that everything's on track with their family. So there's over 300,000. And, you know, this highlights the challenge at the border. This should have never been a political conversation at the border. It's a human trafficking issue. And specifically in this case, child trafficking that is happening all over our country and is being funded with our tax dollars in moving these children to some dangerous homes.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is part of it, but I think it is, that there are large organizations that are being given tons of taxpayer money to resettle unaccompanied minors as well as adults. Is that not correct?
Yes, and don't get me wrong. I am all for healthy, legal immigration. Every one of us had immigrant parents, grandparents, great-grandparents somewhere down the line, and that's important. But this open border policy, as it exists today, is encouraging traffickers throughout Latin America to bring the supply to the demand. Unfortunately, the United States is the number one producer and consumer of child pornography in the world. And unfortunately, we're the ones who are traveling abroad to do these horrible things with children. And so the traffickers have found if they can bring the children to the demand side, they make a lot more money. And it's sick and it's sad and it's something we need to get a handle on if we're going to eradicate child trafficking.
Paul, help us understand what you mean when it's, again, very painful to hear that we're the ones, as you put it, we're the ones. Well, how is this happening? Who are the ones who have made a market for child trafficking? And who are they? And why can't we identify who these people are and, bring them to justice?
Unfortunately, almost everybody on this program, if you walked out into your front yard and you looked left and you looked right, there's a very high chance that one of those homes is a dangerous place for children. And what I mean by that is this: one out of every four women in the United States have been a victim of sexual abuse as a child, and most of them in their own homes. For men, it's a little bit less. It's one out of every five at some time in their life. Yet one fourth of them,
except they don't report it,
10 years old.
Just so you know.
And then what's happening is these perpetrators who are being lured to this direction from our media, our Hollywood, that is slowly taking down our moral compasses and taking us away from the solid foundations and making it so that, you know, they're sexualizing children with, movies, TV series like some of the ones on Netflix with cuties and other things like that. They're horrific things that are happening that are including massive pornography addiction that leads people down this dark road. I'm here in Latin America right now. I've served over 70 undercover rescue missions in 15 countries. I'm no longer undercover since the Sound of Freedom movie came out. But uh-huh. I've been on the ground, and I know how these children are taken. I know how the parents are lured, and I know what's happening. And I've done a lot of work right on the border and seeing these children that are being trafficked across the U.S. border from Latin America. In fact, then there's massive organizations down here as well that are involved in this illicit trade. So I go into depth on that. You can go to soundoffreedombook.com, and there's a lot of information on what you can do to keep your kids safe and where these children are coming from, et cetera.
How do you deal with the fact that it's painful just to hear about this, let alone, you know, to have lived it or to be dealing with what you're dealing with? I mean, it's such a difficult topic for people to get their brain around.
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot of resistance to that, isn't there?
Of course, and this is the biggest reason why I'm the primary investor in the Sound of Freedom movie. We highlighted not just my rescues. We, a Homeland Security agent, a lot of other operators. We highlighted 8 different rescue missions and put that story all together into one storyline. And the purpose was to help good people everywhere. We couldn't take you guys to see what we have seen, but we could have you help you feel what we had felt and get behind a movement. So now it's a lot easier to talk about these subjects. We're in 2 years ago, before Sound of Freedom came out, it was not polite dinner conversation to talk about trafficking and what's happening and how we can fix it. And so for us, you're right, it is dark, it is difficult. I remember my very first mission. It was in Colombia more than a decade ago, and I was sitting on a chair, and this little girl, this 11-year-old that the traffickers were presenting to me as a virgin. They had brought 54 children to this island, and they stand her in front of me, and I'm sitting down, she's standing up, and our eyes are almost level. I'm looking at her directly into her soul, and all I could see was fear and sadness. And at that moment, I made a commitment to myself, to God, to that child, that I was going to dedicate my life to eradicating that evil from the face of the earth.
Yeah. Well, I definitely have a special heart for this because I was a social worker. I wrote a book about the sexualization of children. And this was when it was relatively benign to what we're seeing today with institutionalized grooming. It's hard to deny that large institutions have suddenly legitimized the sexualization and the grooming of young children and haven't put their foot down. It's astonishing and tragic. Tell everybody again how they can find you and follow you, because it's a tough subject.
They can go to liberatinghumanity.com or any social media under Liberating Humanity and get more information on how to keep your children safe.
Thank you so much, Paul Hutchinson, for your work on this topic. It's right and wrong. That's all it is. Thank you. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about it is a drinking from a fire hose kind of a week as it's been. Stay tuned.
Well, welcome to Super Zoo. At this show, we are being joined by over 18,000 pet professionals who are here to explore 6 football fields worth of space that's jam-packed with 1,100 exhibitors. This is where the pet community comes to discover the latest and greatest in pet care. You know, Americans spend over $100 billion every year on pet products. So people come here to discover the basics like food and nutrition, but also something a little bit more, whether it's fun for them in terms of toys or the pet tech that's really getting exciting and adding some new features for all those pet parents out there. And with over 1,100 new products being launched at the show this year, there's something new and exciting everywhere you look. For more information about Super Zoo, which is the largest pet retail show in North America, please learn more about us at superzoo.org.
The new FAFSA rollout is leaving many college students concerned they may not have enough money to return to school. Ruth Farmer, founder and CEO at Last Mile Education Fund, shares how they're bridging the funding gap.
Rising college costs can be a major barrier for students from lower-income families, especially after this year's challenging FAFSA rollout. In fact, 3 out of 5 college students report basic needs insecurity.
Most scholarships focus on getting students into college, but the Last Mile Education Fund wants to see students earn their degrees and enter the workforce.
This investment has huge payoffs. A college graduate with a technology degree earns an average of over $40,000 more per year than those with some college but no degree. In fact, we've estimated that investing in 23,000 such students completing their degrees will generate $2.15 billion in wages over the next 10 years. So if you're eligible, you should absolutely apply.
Find more at lastmile-ed.org/apply.
IBM and the United States Tennis Association are teaming up and using generative AI to deliver a more informative and engaging experience for tennis fans around the world. Thanks to IBM's Watson X and Granite large language models, the 2024 U.S. Open digital platforms offer never-before-seen features, bringing fans even closer to the action inside Billie Jean King Tennis Center. New post-match summaries mean fans can access detailed analysis for all 254 U.S. Open singles matches, with long-form summaries for each match arriving within minutes of the last serve for near-instant coverage at unprecedented scale. An enhanced version of AI commentary and a redesigned slam tracker brings more frequent, expressive, and contextual commentary, with highlight packages published just minutes after a match concludes. Live matches will have a near real-time 3D graphic of current play alongside generative AI-produced insights. IBM Skills Build's new collaboration with the USTA Foundation provides students, coaches, and the public access to AI and professional development courses, workshops, and more. To see IBM technology in action, visit usopen.org or download the US Open app. Sponsored by IBM.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I am Karen Cataline, and I'm sitting in for Alan Nathan here on the Main Street Radio Network. Great to have our next guest, a policy advisor at the Catholic Association. We're going to hear more about this. Dr. Grazi Pozzo Christi is our guest. Thank you so much, doctor, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's such an important topic.
Yes. Well, and the topic, which I didn't really mention, is that Florida doctors are launching a group to defeat an abortion ballot initiative in Florida. First, tell us about this initiative, who's running it, and what would it do?
So there will be an amendment offered to the voters to the Florida Constitution in November that will, it's very short, it's only two sentences. And what it does is it prohibits any kind of delay, restriction, obstruction, or regulation of abortion pretty much through 40 weeks of pregnancy. It also eliminates parental consent for minors around abortion. So what many of us are fighting against this crazy amendment, which is absolutely brutal, but also extremely unsafe for mothers, for the girls and women who have abortions. And some of us are doctors, and we want the public to know that. As physicians, we find this amendment extremely dangerous for Floridian women and girls.
Yes, I want to kind of take a slight detour, if I could, let me see if I can make this case. In this campaign right now, it seems as if the left has made abortion their one and only, quote, freedom issue. And that's in quotes. Because every single one of our freedoms is under attack right now. But yet they're saying that they're all for freedom. But their freedom means that somehow the right to an abortion is enshrined in the Constitution, which it is not. Is it out of the question to somehow bring that up with all the rest? I don't mean to change your focus here.
No,
but I think
your point is a tremendously excellent point, because we just watched the DNC take place.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They talked about freedom, but the actual freedoms in the Constitution are freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion.
Religion.
Yes. Those are actually enumerated freedoms.
Right.
And those were not mentioned at all in the DNC. And instead, all we heard about was, we heard over and over and over again how abortion is what makes women free and how abortion is the biggest important freedom. And I take huge issue with that, because abortion is not, it doesn't make women free. It makes unscrupulous men free. It makes the abortion industry free. It makes child pornographers free. It makes, you know, it's child abusers. What it does is it's the opposite of freedom, abortion. So it's amazing to me that all this talk about freedom, and they should choose abortion as A, it's not freedom, and B, it's not one of the freedoms that are enumerated.
Bingo, 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 bingo. And I think there is a way to expose the left in this unbelievably contentious election, in which loads of money is being spent to call the Harris campaign and Harris and the whole radical left as the party of freedom, when they have, for the last 4 years, they don't even want to act as if they've been there for the last 4 years. They'd like to blame the last 4 years on Trump. And it seems as if, unless you take that tact that you just said, and I just love that you said it, you're falling into the trap of allowing them to make this, to identify abortion as the only freedom. And they're the ones who have consistently taken away freedom, attacks on our First Amendment rights, all of those things. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
I saw on YouTube that it was a parody, a journalist who he was pretending to be, he was at the DNC, but he was pretending to be very liberal. And he went up, he was asking young women in the audience, if you had to choose between democracy and reproductive freedom or democracy and abortion, what would you choose?
Yeah.
And these poor young women said, I would choose abortion between democracy. So the brainwashing around abortion that has gone on.
The amount of propaganda, the amount of propaganda is astonishing, because they don't know about the other freedoms that are enumerated in the Constitution. So I'm just making a humble request that, along with your campaign, that you remind people, because this is an election year, they are claiming that incorrectly, that Republicans want to outlaw all abortion. Maybe there are people who believe that, but repeal of Roe v. Wade did not do that in any way, shape, or form. Trump is not advocating that. And yet you're making a case. I want you to talk about this, because we do have time to talk about even further how it is that abortion makes women not free. We just got through talking at some length about child sex trafficking, and it basically gives giant cover to sexual abusers, does it not?
Yes. Abortion does is that it creates space for sexuality to just be they say that it's consequence free, but obviously it's not consequence free, because we have a tremendous porn culture which is full of human trafficking victims. We have child trafficking going on all the time, child pornography. We have pedophilia. We have the early sexualization of children. We have transgenderism. So all these sexualities are in a way, they hinge upon the complete freedom, the false freedom that comes with abortion, right? But it's not actual freedom. First of all, when an abortion takes place, a human being, a little American citizen, loses his or her life. That's number one. So anything that involves the killing of another person cannot be a freedom, right? You start with murder. You start with an assassination, in a sense. Wow. You start with the elimination of the most vulnerable, right? That's your starting point. I'm going to eliminate the most vulnerable person in this equation. That's the child. So how can you talk about freedom when you start there? And then also, abortion is a way to make it easy for the most unscrupulous amongst us to operate without any kind of boundaries, right? So for instance, the abortion industry, they're spending so much money in Florida, tens of millions of dollars. They're spending so much money here because, not because they are bringing something wonderful to Florida, it's because they are going to make a lot of money in Florida. They want to make Florida an abortion destination so that women from all over the country will fly to Florida and have second and third trimester abortions when a baby can feel pain and when it's extremely traumatic and savage for the mother to experience a second abortion.
Yes.
So they make a ton of money that way. So it's really all about the money. It's all about liberating the worst actors in our society to have their way. You know, when you take away parental consent, what you end up having is girls who are being abused by older men or being trafficked. They're the ones who take these girls to Planned Parenthood to have abortions. And the parents aren't called to say, hey, I have your daughter here, your 14-year-old daughter. She's with this older man and he's asking for an abortion for her. Come and, you know, come down to the center and tell us what you think about this. No one's going to do that because parental consent is eliminated.
Yeah. Well, I might add that I don't think it is just about money. I think that's certainly a big part of it because there's been a money laundering system through the DNC and Planned Parenthood. But there's something more. And that is, it seems as if every position the radical left takes and has taken is anti-life. I don't just mean abortion. I mean the reduction of the population, to the elevation of childless women, the elevation of, didn't they talk a lot about vasectomies in,
There was a vasectomy truck. Giving not only abortions for free, but also vasectomies. So that tells you, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying.
Do we see a pattern here?
Yeah, they're in it for the end of the species, as far as I can tell. I mean, they're looking for the end of human life.
They seem to have hostility. I hate making these kind of broad generalizations, but the truth of the matter is they're pro-euthanasia of elderly. They're pro-euthanasia of anyone and everyone. They're pro not having children.
They seem to be anti-human.
And my question is, you first, baby, right? If you want to off yourself, choose that for yourself, not for everyone else. How do people find you and follow this case in Florida?
We are at Say No on 4 Florida and also at Florida Physicians Against Amendment 4.
Dr. Grazie, I hope that's right, Pozzo Christie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. Good luck with your project. We appreciate it. We'll be right back with the Alan Nathan Show and one more guest in this hour when we get back. Don't go away.
The message that I have for our realtor members, whether it's at the local level or across the country, it's that as much as change can be difficult, change is a good thing. And right now, I think that with these practice changes, it's empowering both the real estate professionals, our realtor members, and the consumers to have these valuable conversations about the service, the expertise that that the real estate professional brings to the transaction. And so, you know, this change, it's going to be something different. Ultimately, I think those that can clearly articulate their value proposition will be very successful and will thrive. If you're looking to get more information about these practice changes, you can go to facts.realtor, and that's where selling consumers, buying consumers, or even real estate professionals can see all the latest information about these practice changes as a result of the settlement.
So we have events year-round here, actually coming up in September. If you can come visit us from the 20th through the 29th, is Island Hopper Songwriter Fest. It's a unique festival that is put on throughout the entire area, so the coastal communities to the downtown areas in the city of Cape Coral. It's 10 days of live music, mostly all free events. But it's great because you can go maybe watch a performance on Captiva, then go into downtown Fort Myers, listen to the live music, enjoy the venue, good food, good music, and get around the area. So I'd like to talk about that. Also, of course, the beach is here, right? You want to kind of hit up the beach. You've got a ton of different personalities here. When we talk about Sanibel Island, it is the seashell capital of the world. And then there's Fort Myers Beach, which has a completely different vibe. And it's good for all ages, but lots of outdoor activities when it comes to our parks and nature preserves as well. Our website is visitfortmyers.com, and you can find inspiration, some photos and videos, some beautiful pictures of those West Coast sunsets and all the different things that you can enjoy when you come visit.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And, Donald Trump had a response to Kamala Harris's acceptance speech. Interestingly, the LA Times covered Donald Trump's response, and of course it was a little stilted. But here to talk about that and a bunch of other things, if we have time. We never have enough time. Leslie Corbly, author, poet, writer on Substack, and an attorney. Her debut poetry collection is titled Silent Suffering, Poems of Pain and Purpose. Leslie Corbly, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I was just looking at the LA Times article, and they love to respond on Kamala's behalf when Donald Trump makes the point he makes. But yet, considering the kind of propaganda we've seen, it has a little bit of a teeny tiny bit of fairness. What say you, and what do you think of Trump's response?
Well, I think the response to his response is pretty predictable, for sure. I think, you know, yeah, that kind of typical propagandistic attempt to skew the narrative is pretty common right now. Unfortunately, it was unlikely to abate during the election season. And I definitely agree with you that there's a major problem as it relates to the media seeming to run PR interference for the Harris-Walz campaign.
Yeah, do you...
right? That seems to be their goal.
Do you agree with me that it could have been worse? Or am I just, is the bar so doggone low? I mean, I don't want to encourage people to read it because it clearly defends her. But on the other hand, it actually reports what he said, which is he called her Comrade Harris, which she is a communist. Nobody wants to talk about it, but she is.
Sure. No, I actually agree with you. I think, well, first of all, that it actually reported what he said is always a good thing. But it's becoming harder and harder, I think, for some of these. I think it will continue to be harder for some of these very blatantly biased narratives to hold, particularly after what happened with RFK Jr.'s suspension of his campaign and subsequent endorsement of Trump.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So in the article in the LA Times, they quote, Harris continued, because of course they say what she said more, by saying Trump, quote, sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol where they assaulted law enforcement officers. You know, there's that old thing. You could tell that the truth can travel around the world 10 times before. No, lies can. What is it? Lies can travel all the way around the world 10 times before the truth gets its shoes on. These are, along with Charlottesville, the same lies they've been repeating again and again and again. And I guess they believe that if you say it enough, you say it long enough, people will believe the lies. What do you think about that? They're total lies.
I think that's true. And I think from listening to her speech, it really seemed, it was fascinating to me because from the perspective of someone watching, if they had no real prior knowledge of some of her statements or say hadn't really followed politics, was actually a well-delivered speech. It was well-constructed and well-delivered. Very light on policy, of course, but that clearly wasn't the point of the speech. So I thought that that was very interesting. You know, the way she delivered the speech, the way it was organized, I think would have been compelling to a first-time viewer of
she didn't do that. They did it for her.
Yes.
And if I may say, one of the things that they clearly are doing to the exclusion of so much else, is claiming that they're the challengers. They're acting as if Trump has been there for the last 4 years, and they are a breath of fresh air. How do they get away with that? That's like saying the emperor is naked, and everybody says he's wearing beautiful clothes.
Sure, I wonder if it's that they think voters will see the vice presidency as sort of a, you know, oh, something, if something happens to the president and the vice president takes over, therefore sort of absolve her of any responsibility for what
that's too logical.
During the administration's tenure.
They're basically just gaslighting. Yeah, they're basically just gaslighting people and telling you that what you've been living for the last 4 years really didn't happen. I mean, I saw Al Sharpton, I'm getting worked up, I'm sorry. I saw Al Sharpton saying, oh, there's finally a glimmer of light with these dark last... this dark time we've been in. Well, let's see. Who was responsible for that dark time?
I thought
33% inflation.
The most hypocritical, did think, was when she spoke in her acceptance speech on the border. You know, and understanding safety and so on and so forth, given her position as borders are, you know, being assign essentially responsibility for the border by the Biden administration.
Which
but
she disavowed.
I did think it was very odd because she did. Again, there was this interesting aspect where I go, okay, if you weren't familiar with politics at all, I could see how this would be appealing. But on the other hand, she is one of the most powerful people in government right now and has been in the administration for the past 4 years. So these lofty promises of hope seem... It seems like you could have accomplished something, and she didn't really have a lot. I mean, you know, she points to some things that she's claiming they've accomplished, but they were all very, very generic, very there was not policy in this speech.
And did not address broad strokes. The debacles of the administration.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They're never going to talk about that. We only have a couple of minutes, and, well, we could rant with each other, and I have a feeling we could do that a while. Talk about this poetry collection of yours, Silent Suffering, Poems of Pain and Purpose. How does it relate to some people who have what I call the curse of awareness? They haven't fallen for the propaganda lies that we're watching, the gaslighting of saying what you have experienced isn't what you experienced, just believe us.
Sure. So I took philosophy, history, and theology and blended that into an analytic critique of the present moment. So it includes a lot of ideas that are very traditional. This has been around for, in some cases, centuries. But the point was sort of to show how relevant those ideas are now, and also to, give hope to people who are who see through a lot of the hypocrisy of the current moment in relation, both primarily in relation to how the left wing views issues such as human dignity. There's a poem in there, for instance, that's inspired by Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment that critiques communism directly. There's a critique of the notion of wanting to abandon free speech principles. And of course, a critique also of the idea of progressive inclusion. You know, I thought that was, for example, fascinating to me that one of the only groups Kamala Harris couldn't identify with was children in her speech.
Ah,
and that was what JFK Jr. directly spoke to, right, was the future and our children's
Leslie Corbley, I wish we had more time. We got to wrap it up. Tell everybody they can find that book, Silent Suffering.
Absolutely. So you pop over to Amazon, and it's, there's a link on Amazon. Go to my website, LeslieCorbley.com, or Barnes & Noble or any major online retailer.
Got to run. Thank you. Corbley, Corbly. Thank you so much for joining us. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back for another hour after this.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.